Hey everyone, it's Amanda. We were hoping to record a new episode for you all this week, but in a surprising plot twist, my water broke very early Monday morning, and Miss Eden Philomena made her debut 2 weeks early, a couple hours later. We are home, I am on the mend, she is amazing, and we're doing okay. Captain is disgruntled, but yeah, we're gonna take a couple weeks off, so enjoy these next Real Weird Sister crossover episodes, and we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait to tell you the full story. Bye.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?
Broadcast!
Will the Real Weird Sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here. We're the Weird Sisters, we're the Real Weird Sisters. All you other Weird Sisters are fine, but not the Vickers. Will the Real Weird Sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Welcome to the broadcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode number 39, episode 219. And we are joined for our 4th annual Real Weird crossover with the Real Weird Sisters themselves, Alice and Martha. Hello!
I can't believe it's 4 years. Wow.
Wow, that is crazy. I can't believe that either. That's very exciting, though.
I know.
Yeah.
My goodness. Time is flying by.
It is.
So how is it
been? Thank you for having us.
No problem. Thank you for coming. We're really glad that you still want to hang out with us.
Yes. 4 years later, and you still want to hang out.
The highlight of our year, every year for the last 4 years. It's always what I look forward to most on January 1st.
What am I going to record for a ridiculously long amount of time and it's not going to be for my own show? No, I'm just kidding. How's it going, though? How has your pandemic year been?
Oh, it's been amazing. I just loved it.
That's
the question. It's been kind of a weird year. I don't know. I don't remember when we recorded with you guys last year, but I think it was pre-pandemic, right?
It was earlier.
It was like February. Yeah.
Did we know at the time what was coming.
We recorded on Martin Luther King Day last year, if I remember correctly, or about that time.
Okay, I remember it was shortly after the birthdays in your family, Colleen.
Something like that.
Or shortly before, maybe, around that time.
Yeah.
Wow, y'all have such good memories. What did we talk about?
Easier to remember specific things pre-pandemic than anything from the last year when those things took place.
Then maybe it was February. I thought I was doing dry January when we recorded last year.
Oh, we did talk about dry January, so maybe it was during dry January.
Well, we might have done it. We might have recorded in January with the intention of releasing them in February or something. So maybe you're both right.
Yeah.
Or it could have been year 2.
January and February are very close together.
Could have been in February.
Yeah.
That's true. You know,
in any case, it was that sliver of the year that was pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
No wonder we can't remember. So much has happened.
We did record a pandemic podcast with Shandy, though, and that was our Twilight Sorting Hat episode, which was a very fun pandemic memory.
That happened during the pandemic?
Yes. Okay, clearly it made a great impact on you, too, Shandy.
Oh, no, it was so much fun, but like,
I think it was wild. Late May, because I'm sure it was pandemic because I was living alone at the time for first few months of the pandemic. My roommates both went home, and so I was living alone. So that was when I binge watched all the Twilight movies for the first time on my own. So I definitely am clear on the timeline on that.
That was a dark time, wasn't it?
No, it was fun. I actually loved it. It was the first time I had seen all the Twilight movies besides the first one, and I actually loved it. So it was actually very fun. It was all leading up to getting to podcast with Shandy, which of course was the best part of it. So
that part was amazing.
Well, yes, no, that was fun. But I feel like May was kind of like the beginning of my dark time where I was like, not like dark, but like everyone, you know, we've all gone through like phases, I feel like, in the pandemic. And
right.
I think that was about the time when I started being like, I'm so tired all the time. And like, I'm getting up like 5 minutes before I'm supposed to start for work. And it's so weird. And what is this? And people are like, you know, you're kind of describing like depression. It's like, oh, yeah, not like clinical depression, sounds but like familiar. You know, yeah. I feel like we all
pandemic have depression.
That. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It. I came out of it, but it was just that was a weird time.
Yeah.
Well, did the Twilight podcast set that off?
Sounds like having it pulled her out of it.
Having to think about Twilight was enough.
No, that's I love and also hate like equal parts love and hate Twilight. You will always enjoy talking about it. I'm sure it was a fun episode. It was a lot of fun. I'm gonna go back and listen. Have a listen. It's just like it feels like it was longer ago than that.
The because of pandemic times. It feels like it's longer ago than that though. It is kind of. Yeah. I know we talked about this when we recorded recently, but like I was the person tasked with going into my office twice a week to check on things like mail checks that would come in. I remotely deposit them and scan things that came in the mail to other coworkers because I live, I'm like one of the closest ones. And I still get this like deja vu some days where I remember how eerie it was driving from here straight to work and it would take like 10 minutes on a journey that's normally about 17 minutes because there'd be no traffic, there'd be nobody else on the roads.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, the office was like very still and crazy and like I get these flashbacks and like I get chills sometimes where I'm like, God, that was a year ago or, you know, that was over a year ago now. I just, whoo. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know the feeling just a couple weeks ago when it was like the anniversary of when everything shut down, especially like when schools shut down. Yeah. I was having these flashbacks to that week of the things that were happening at school that week. And this one specific memory of being in the copy room the day that the announcement was made and we were all making packets because our like admin had told us like through the grapevine, she had heard that maybe we would need to be making packets to send home with students. And we were all in the copy room and I got a text from a group that I'm in, like a group chat that I'm in. It was a screenshot of the Larry Hogan, governor of Maryland, announcement. And it said like 2 weeks of school closures. And I had to interrupt my coworker. Yeah, 2 weeks, of course. I had to interrupt my coworker and he was in the middle of talking. And I was like, wait, sorry, I have to tell you. So he was like, I know March Madness was canceled. I was like, no, something more important. I was like, no, this affects us directly. And then, so yeah, that was a weird memory to relive a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and then, like, time hop will show me. And my kids, I feel like, Zachary has legitimately grown 6 inches over the last year, if not more. He is like, up to my, like, chest just about. He's so tall now.
Wow.
And
my goodness.
Alex looks like a totally different kid, like, just because his hair got longer, and he just grew from, like, a two-year-old to a three-year-old. My time hop will show me all these pictures, and, like, just from a year ago, and I'll be like, Jay, do you remember this kid? Because I don't.
So you never spent so much time, you never spent more time together, and yet you can't remember any of it.
I know, right? I remember. Well,
so then the growth became more subtle because you saw it more
frequently
than you would have in normal times.
Exactly.
It's like how you don't notice smells if you're around the same smell all the time. Like you don't realize it that you smell if you're around yourself all the time.
Yes.
That also a story of a memory you had from the pandemic.
Another early pandemic memory for me. Yes.
I mean, she did spend the first 2 months of it by herself.
Exactly.
What was the longest?
One could only assume.
Okay, wait, I have a question.
All coming together.
Well, do you guys remember this, the longest you went like without bathing during like quarantine times? Because I think I went almost a week at one point without taking a shower or anything.
That's kind of impressive.
I know. Well, yeah. I wasn't going outside. I wasn't going outside. I don't think I was. I think it was I was so busy that I wasn't really even like walking or exercising or whatever. I mean, busy. My job actually got a lot busier being remote because we just kept adding more things to it.
Especially in the beginning.
Because everything took longer to do while we figured it out. Like, you know, our jobs weren't designed to be done remotely.
Well, now they are.
Now they are, but they weren't then. So everything just took twice as long. Yeah.
I just actually had a memory of when we were on the broadcast last time and we were talking about, oh, maybe all come to the get-together in May. And
yes.
Yeah, Martha was like going to drive down because it's really close to Baltimore. Right. And then
Shandy had sent me some like connections to different people who were driving down from the same area. Yeah.
And then I was thinking, oh, maybe I could make it work because it's my birthday weekend. And we had a day off of school that weekend. Yeah, that did not happen.
Well, it's October 8th through 10th this year.
Oh, okay.
We've pushed it back to the fall to give everybody a chance to get vaccinated. I get my first shot tomorrow, finally, as of recording this.
Yay.
So, hopefully, fingers crossed by the time you hear this show. So I guess, just a reminder, I should have said this at the top. If you're listening to this, this is our Amanda's maternity leave show. So if you're hearing this right now, most likely Amanda is either has had a baby or is about to have a baby.
In the process of.
In the process of. Choose your own adventure. So, shit, I forgot where I was going with this. So anyway,
vaccinated.
By the time.
So that's what it is. That's what this show is.
What
you're doing.
What I'm doing. So I would have
tomorrow as of recording this.
As of recording this on April 7th is my first shot. Here's the question. Will Amanda still be pregnant in 3 weeks on April 28th when I'd have my second shot?
I hope not.
That seemed like a very distressing suggestion to you, Amanda.
Yeah, I hope not.
How are you feeling? I saw you for about half an hour this weekend.
I know. It was wonderful. Were saying that like Zach grew 6 inches, I realized. I was like, oh, yeah, he never really stood up and got out of the car. So I didn't see how tall he was. Yeah. He still looked like regular old Zach to me. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was a lovely treat. We met up in a Stop and Shop parking lot in the middle
Coney of Coney Island. Yeah.
Yeah, like Coney Island, Brooklyn. And it was great. It was really lovely. It's always a good day when you get to see the Glatfelters.
Yay. We're very entertaining.
Yeah, you are, though.
Alex talked Amanda's ear off about his stuffed animals.
Yep, I got to meet the whole gang.
You met Pink Bear and Kitty Cat.
Yep.
I love that.
Martha's very jealous. She's always wanted to meet Zachary Lewis and Alex.
Well, you know, you're going to have never to come met in
the
October.
Never met the Glatfelters. Well, any of the Glatfelters. I've never even seen Pauline.
You'll have to come in October. It's Indigenous Peoples Day weekend.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, we don't get any.
I'll mark my calendar, yeah.
Martha is much more likely to be there than I am.
I don't have that Monday off. I know Shandy and Amanda, you both have it off.
Yeah.
Because it's still a holiday. Yeah.
It's one of those holidays that like you don't have to. Yeah. Companies don't have to give you.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Amanda, how are you doing with the baby furniture and all that? The room coming along? You said you put something together and didn't cry this weekend.
Oh, yeah. What did we put together and didn't cry?
Was it the car seat?
It is, yeah. Two attempts, and we got that sucker in there.
Excellent!
Congratulations.
You just have to spring for the nicer, like idiot-proof car seats. I think that's all it is.
Well, while you were putting things together, we actually took Alex's crib apart, which even though it was in the bed part, but the crib is in several pieces upstairs in the hallway. Jay and I bonded over a mutual hatred for an Allen wrench. Like, why do they exist?
I don't mind Allen wrenches.
Trying to do it crib bars?
Not to take things apart. To, like, put it together, they're great. But to take things apart?
Oh, no. See, I like the other way. Like, putting them together, you're always... You always like wish you could turn it further, and it's like you have to constantly be taking it off and then repositioning it.
Yes, that's the worst part.
You got to use the other side. I realized this the other day. If you use the other side,
really,
it doesn't. Yeah, like you can't.
Wait, which side?
You eventually then have to flip it back around to get it really tight.
Like the long side or the hook side? Because we use the
long side.
The long side takes things apart.
Well, we it can also like put things together.
I just always feel
I just used it on something this weekend.
I feel unhandy most of the time anyway, but when I use an Allen wrench, I feel particularly
right.
Unhandy,
like, so we
I'm like, I'm not doing this right.
we were super taking incompetent. Turns. We were taking turns, and it was in between like the crib bars and whatnot. So it would be like a quarter of a turn. Take it
yeah,
out.
So annoying.
Yes,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Off, put it back on. Yes,
I'm telling you. Maybe it's just the West Elm Allen wrenches because we got a table and chairs that we put together this weekend, and the West Elm.
Oh, West Allen
wrench.
Nice.
If you flip it around the other way, it totally works.
Well, ours was Toys R Us, so that could have
been. Mine was Wayfair, so that also explains it.
I was just really glad that we had kept it. It was in one of the drawers because the changing table is attached to the crib, which anybody out there, never do that. It's so annoying and big and cumbersome. And
yeah.
It seemed like a great idea, but it wasn't in the end.
No, no. My cousin tried to talk me into that. I was like, no, thank you.
Plus, you don't want to have to shit where you sleep. Like, yeah, the baby.
It was handy with Zach.
Literally.
It was handy with Zach, but with Alex, I think, beyond those, you know, first couple of changing up top, we just put them on the floor. No. Here's a towel. Let's change on the floor. But the one thing I do want to do, because I'm feeling a little sentimental about it, is see if I can upcycle it into something. Like, and when I'm Pinterest.
The changing table?
No, the crib part. The crib.
That's what I thought too at first. I'm like, so you're separating them, but surely the part you would want to keep, right, is the changing table.
Obviously.
Well, I mean... You know, if you know my family's history, the changing table, keeping that.
A lot of quality time was spent there.
I mean, we're either going to burn it or make an effigy to it, like an actual, like. Although it would, like the drawers and everything still fit. It needs one, like, bit of support on the side where the crib had attached to it. But it actually would function fairly well, at, like, in the storage area. It's just, like, extra drawers and stuff. But I want to do something with the crib bars. I went on Pinterest and... you saw like benches and other cute little ideas. So I don't know if anybody out there has upcycled a crib, holler at me because I want to know what you did because I don't want to, I don't know, feel.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It would be a cool thing to keep around. A good conversation starter.
Right. Anyway.
As you shut that conversation down, Shandy.
It's a great conversation starter. Preach.
Which one, the changing table or the crib?
Maybe both.
Yeah, why not both?
Hey, as we're recording this, it's Tasia's birthday. Happy birthday, Tasia. Now belatedly.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. It's also 406 day. Happy 406
day.
That's
right. It is. And for the day to you and yours.
What does that mean?
Right. I was going to say, for the non-Montanans, that doesn't really mean anything.
What? You don't know what 406 day is, Amanda?
Can't say I do.
406 is the Montana area code. So it's Montana
state.
For our whole
state. The entire state has one area code.
What? Yeah, because there's not many people.
Which is also why I will never change my...
Yeah.
That's amazing. You still have a 406 number to Shandy?
Oh, yeah. I will never get
away, and I have a different zip code.
Well,
not the zip code, the area code.
Like in New York, it's what, 716, 718? Or 646 now, I think.
There's a couple now.
There's a couple. It used to be, I think,
716, I think, is the... 212 is the one that everyone's like covets.
Yeah.
Because you can't get that one anymore. Exactly. Like they've maxed out.
That'll be like 406 soon.
Yeah.
Because I think they said they're going to have to make a new area code pretty soon for Montana.
Interesting.
That's.
People were really
tragic.
Mad. Yeah. People were up in arms.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. The 212 for New York. People are like, oh, you have a 212.
Yeah. It's very prestigious. I have a 516 area code number, which is the original Long Island one.
Ooh, you fancy. Because
They split early on into 631. Not early on, but they split some point when I was in middle school, maybe, to 516 and to 631. which is, it just, they broke it down by the county. So if you were in Nassau County, you were in Nassau County, you were in 516. Suffolk County, you were 631.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Not like Long Island, or I think like Connecticut. Connecticut has two area codes, and these places are much tinier.
Much tinier.
Like they're much tinier.
Geographically.
Yeah, way more people.
Right. Just a few.
Somehow in France, for the longest time, all cell phone numbers started with 06, and that's all I ever knew. And then, like, I remember going back a few years ago and people had 07 numbers. It's like,
ooh.
Whoa.
What's their country code? Like, we're 1516 or 1.
Of course, we're like, we gave ourselves number one.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Obviously.
France is 33.
Okay. That's a pretty cool one, though.
Yeah. It's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Not quite as easy as one, but.
That's also probably why we kept one.
Right. I think so.
I mean, but like, seriously, who decided that? I think we did.
No, definitely.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Whoever is number one is whose idea it was.
I think that tells you so much about the U.S.
It does.
But hey, easy to remember. Very simple.
Yep.
Okay, let's look it up. The origin of country codes.
I was just thinking that seems like something Alice would have done when we were growing up, is like tried to take number one and then convinced me that number one was actually not the best number to have. She'd be like, well, actually, you like two better, don't you? Like,
and even, number, totally even numbers, even numbers, right?
Right, exactly. She'd be like, you like even numbers, so you should have two. And I would have been like, really, okay, it dibs on two. Right.
I did this for you to leave you an even number.
Right, yeah. She's like, I just know you really like the number two, don't you? So I'll take one, you can have two. That's the kind of thing she would pull on me all the time.
All the time. Well, it's classic older sibling mentality.
Yeah, like, oh, you like banana Laffy Taffy, remember? It's your favorite flavor. You love the yellow Skittles.
Yep. And it worked every time.
Okay.
Yep, it did.
It still works.
So it's actually by region. So all of North America is in zone one. So Canada is plus one. United States is plus one. All of our territories are plus one.
Okay.
Many of our territories are plus one. Many but not all Caribbean nations and some Caribbean Dutch and British overseas territories are plus one. Zone two is mostly Africa, and they have plus two. And then there's like a long list, like Egypt is plus 20. Sudan is plus 211. Blah, 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 blah. Zones three and four is Europe. And so Greece is 30. Netherlands is 31. Belgium is 32. France is 33. Spain is 34. Then we get into like triple digits, the same as with Africa. So I've got this list. It doesn't actually tell me. It tells me what all the country codes are in the whole world, but it doesn't actually tell me why. So maybe I should read that part.
Well, that's more than I knew before.
Well, it makes sense that you say Europe is three and four, because at first when you said that zone thing, I was like, but Germany is 4-9. And Shandy had said that France was 3-3, but I guess they're in 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
It looks like Mexico might be in zone 5, because they're 52 and South America is all 52. So it must be Central and, well, no, Mexico is North America? Yeah.
So does Canada, does Canada have another number following one, or they're also just one?
They're also just one, it looks like.
Oh, huh.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me scroll back. Sorry. Scrolled
this is really interesting.
Yeah, it's really good to know. Next
welcome
time
to this American life.
Right. Yeah, Canada is just plus one. United States is just plus one. And then our territories are plus one, 340, 670. So the territories have more numbers, but they all start with like plus one.
Shandy, is in France, do they have all the same length of phone numbers, or is it variable?
Oh, all the same length.
Because in Germany, that was one thing that I always found really interesting, was that they have all these different lengths of phone numbers.
What? I guess like if you're calling like kind of like 911, like if you're calling like emergency services, or like there are some numbers that are only three numbers, or maybe even like five. Yeah. A person's telephone is always going to be 10 numbers.
Okay.
Done in pairs. They always say them in by twos.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes. I didn't know that.
As a side note, my phone number when I was in France, because I still, it's my first like cell phone number, was 060901-2070. And I could always remember it because it started out with 0609.
Oh, nice.
Well, that was, there was a number you didn't even have to think about.
Exactly. Right. I already learned that one.
There was no 420 in it, though.
So I just looked it up because I was second-guessing myself about the German phone numbers, but some of them are 10 or some of them are 11. So they're not all the same.
11.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
I don't know. I always thought it was weird because, like, I'm pretty sure my host family's phone number was 11. Like, it was a long one. But that was one of the only ones that was like that. Like, all of the rest of them were 10.
I have a question.
Very strange.
So do you have to press like pound or something to indicate that you're finished with it?
Yeah,
No,
it's just ringing if once you've hit 10 numbers.
That's what
in.
I didn't understand either. I'm from my memory of this, you would just dial the number and then it would just like know when you were done.
Well, I guess now on phones you have to press send or you have to press call before you
this
dial
was
the number.
Back on a regular,
but that was pre landline.
Yeah. Weird times.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously.
All right. I hope everybody enjoyed that free lesson. You'll thank us when you ever appear on Jeopardy.
Right. Yes. Or we can all start traveling again. And
yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Need to use a phone.
So, Alice and Martha, I was wondering, and we can do this now or we can do this next episode. I had found, you know, a couple of BuzzFeed quizzes. And this one in particular was, you might need a remember-all to ace this trivia quiz about spells from Harry Potter. Do you feel up to taking a Harry Potter spells quiz now, later, or never? You don't make anybody do that.
We should do it now. Spells are notoriously one of the things I'm worst at when it comes to Harry Potter trivia.
We can totally do it. I'm open to doing it. I just am not promising any kind of greatness.
Not going
to
be too impressive, no.
Okay, I am going to put the link in our little side chat here. Wrong chat, Colleen. I always do that.
when you said BuzzFeed, I was a little worried that you were going to say the BuzzFeed article that kind of went viral this week. That was, it was like songs you didn't know were inspired by literary classics. And it was literally like the song Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush is based on the book Wuthering Heights. And it was like, yeah, it was like the song Tale of Two Cities is actually from the book Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, we teach our children well.
It was a listicle, not a quiz. But it was like, okay, what was the point of this?
Yeah. All right, is everybody ready?
Yeah,
I'm taking it too. I don't know the actual. I don't know the actual things. I'll put this quiz in the show notes. So check those out and click on the link if you want to play along. All right. The first question is, what does the incantation Duro do? Hardens things, softens things, heals broken bones, or locks doors?
How are we doing this? Are we shouting, buzzing in?
Question. Everybody select yours and then we can share what we got, what we picked. Okay.
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 Oh, got it.
Oh, me too. Phew. Okay.
No, got that one wrong. I'm off to a great start.
No.
I was about to be like, yay, we all got it.
Womp womp. It was hardened.
No, I think
hardened things.
Yeah.
And I went for the doors. I feel like that was the red herring, and I just I took the bait. Mm.
So I feel like a lot of times.
Duro.
Yeah, like knowing like a romance language helps out a lot with her spells. Yeah,
I was just thinking like durable.
Oh,
yeah, so was I durable.
That would have been a better direction to take.
Well, my other clue was the fact that it was either harden things or heal broken bones were both on there, and I knew it didn't heal broken bones, so I was like,
harden things and soften things were both on there, so that was also a clue.
I know
it was one something to do with things.
Soften things would be mallow.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
I have no idea. I just
well, like malleable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, Martha.
I cannot recall a scene where that spell was used.
So we're on the broadcast, but none of us are going to make a joke about spell hardening thing.
I thought I shouldn't be the one.
What was the joke? Was it Greg or Tim or somebody like two crossovers ago made the joke about what? Oh, there was something. I can't remember. It's going to come to me.
Something about the Room of Requirement.
Oh, God. No, I remember that, too. That was a pretty hilarious discussion that we had. Well, because we talked about the Forgeticus thing, which was from Kevin Smith. But there was also something. Oh, my God. Okay. I don't know. It'll come to me. It'll come to me.
I can't wait.
And if not, I'm going to listen and I'm going to put a editor's note. It was this.
I think you just, when it does come to you, just shout it out. It doesn't matter what we're talking about.
When do I not just shout things out?
I know. I love it. It's my favorite.
You need permission.
It's my favorite.
It was something like with Forgeticus, but I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, what does a charm portus do? Destroy a port key, create a port key, summon a port key, or allow the caster to apparate. Whew, all right, I got it right.
Got it.
Ooh, oh my gosh. Yes.
Now I got it.
Amanda goes first next time, guys.
No. This is already so stressful.
It's pregnancy brain.
I got it wrong.
Oh no, what did you put?
Destroys a port key.
Darn it.
Well, because I was trying to to the books, I was like, do they ever create one? I feel like I remember they destroyed one. I don't know. Again, I was trying to think of, I was like, clues, right? Everybody else was applying logic. Okay.
At least you didn't say allows the caster to apparate. That would have been the real pregnancy brain one.
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, I'll allow your caster to apparate, if you know what I mean.
Duro.
I think Duro might have to be a candidate for episode title.
Sounds good. Like it.
What about Mordre? Somebody else pronounce it. Mordre.
Mordre.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Mordre.
And then you have to go with your tongue. That's the person who casts that spell, known for doing that with his tongue.
Okay, so it's conjures dark magic, produces a snake from the caster's wand. Well, I'll produce a snake from your caster's wand.
Duro.
creates an unbreakable vow and creates a horcrux.
Oh my gosh. This is like every, I'm having flashbacks of every test I ever took in school.
While you do that, I'll go for the joke. I'll draw a caster snake from your wand.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Amanda looked truly frightened.
Well, because I just heard you. I didn't actually see the visual.
That's how most people will experience that.
I had toggled over to the quiz, hoping that the answer would reveal itself if I just stared at it long enough.
Did that work?
No.
Oh, dang it.
It has not. So,
and I had a different guess, but based on Martha's clue, I'm going to go with something else. None of these are what they should be. I'm just saying, for what this word means, at least half of it.
Yeah, what does it mean in French?
Well, it actually is
a real word. What?
I got it right thanks to Martha.
You're welcome.
Has everyone selected? Are we saying what it is?
Oh, I haven't selected yet. Sorry. Let me select.
I did select. I got this one right.
Okay. Oh, kudos. Thank God. Okay. Conjures a dark mark.
Because the last half of that word, mordre, means
death,
to
right?
bite.
Oh, to bite.
Oh. I thought it meant death. Yeah. It's mort that's death?
Yes.
M-O-R-T. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's mors?
I thought that this spell sounded kind of like s'mores. Like s'mores. So just s'mores are the dark mark is Barty Crouch Jr.'s version of s'mores.
You're saying it's
remember that spell because of the scene where he shouts that out. And in the movie, you see him.
Right, which
you're not supposed to be
gives away the whole movie or the whole plot of the book.
Right. So, but you're saying it should be more s'mores day.
Yeah. That's what I say when I go camping. More s'mores.
Okay. I almost did Unbreakable Vow. I just couldn't decide. And then once Shandy was like, oh, a clue. And then I was like, okay, Martha said something about casting a spell. So that's the only, yeah, okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, I was going to go with makes a snake just because a snake bites.
I was going to go with that too.
Based on Martha's like little tongue sound, I thought that that could have been a snake too. So yeah. I was worried I might have led you astray.
You mean you were worried I might have led them astray?
No, because I was like, oh, that was kind of a clue.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was picturing the snake coming out of the skull's mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Which of the following curses is considered officially unforgivable? Who wants to read it?
Got it.
I got it too.
We have. Yeah, go ahead.
Amortentia, Sectum Sempra, Crucio, and Legilimens.
I think we all know this one, right?
Yeah, this one's.
Yay!
Yay!
That's actually a nice, easy one.
Crucio!
Shandy the Slytherin jumped out there.
It just reminds me of Rufio.
I was going to say the 90s kid.
Yes.
I knew exactly what you were going for.
I do think that Legilimens should probably be an unforgivable curse because, well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just think that it should be pretty punishable because Legilimens is very dangerous if you think about it.
Well, maybe you should explain what it is for those who don't remember.
Oh, it is mind control.
Mind reading.
I guess it's more like mind reading. So
it's like Edward.
I guess mind control would be Imperio, but yeah, it is like Edward. Legilimens creeps me out, so maybe I'm just biased.
Well, it does seem like something that you shouldn't be able to do. It seems kind of like a huge invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sectum Sempra, also not great.
No, I think that's why they specified officially unforgivable. Because Sectum Sempra is like kind of a...
Isn't that a torture one?
Right, the rest is falling into a moral gray area.
Cuts your body, it produces a ton of cuts all over your body.
It was a half-blood prince, not patented spell.
Yeah.
I don't think many people know about it.
Right. Yeah,
patent pending.
Yeah, it's not FDA approved.
Exactly.
All right, and finally, what does the fiend fire curse do? Causes a fire to burn out, summons dementors, allows the caster to communicate via flu network, or produces enchanted fire. All right, I'm going to guess. Oh, thank God. Okay, everybody got way too quiet here.
I'm really thinking this one. I feel like there's no clues. Or I'm just not smart enough to find the clues.
Well, it's
I think go with your gut.
Yeah.
Oh, my gut has no idea.
Okay, I think your gut could at least rule out one.
I was going to say, there's a 6.5-pound baby crushing her gut right now. She can't reach it.
So don't go with your gut then.
Yep, no.
Okay, Amanda.
Yeah.
It's fiend fire curse.
Right, but now I'm having terrible flashbacks to the first one where I went for what I thought was obvious and then I was a big dum-dum.
Go with what you think is obvious, I think.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Nope. Still got it wrong. There were two fire choices and I went with the wrong one.
Damn it.
It produces enchanted fire. Did you say cosmic fire to burn out?
Sure did.
Well, you know, you just went with A. I mean, you know.
Again, at least you didn't
say. When in doubt, just go with A.
At least you didn't say it summons dementors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I knew that was.
Because first of all, who would ever want to do that? And second of all,
we don't need a second of all.
Yeah, second of all, that would be another unforgivable curse, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so I think the 5 out of 5 people insufferable know it all. Amanda, what did you get called?
Oh, probably have you ever read these books?
Are you a Neville Longbottom or something? Which is
no, I am. I got 15%.
15%.
Yeah, I'm 15%. You are a Potterhead. You know the storyline of Harry Potter, but not so much the spells or the potions. Try and read the books more slowly. You can get more information.
That is kind of harsh.
No. You've come so far. Well done.
There were 5 questions. 15% is not...
Right.
What? Oh, you scored in the 15th percentile.
Yeah. No, she got a 15%.
You scored better. Oh, you scored 15% better. You scored better than 15%. So 15%.
Well, that was like 20% would be 1 out of 5.
Yeah.
Right. Because also I was thinking, like, I thought you got 2 right. So
yeah.
I did get 2 right. I just looked at the graphic 40%. And I didn't actually read the information that went next to the graphic.
I was like,
you have to learn that classic lesson of you need to stop and read the instructions, and that's going to help you with your test.
No, I need the visual aid. I don't want to read it. Can I watch a YouTube tutorial?
This test was too duro for Amanda.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
That's one spell that should not be unforgivable.
Oh.
Amanda was just kind of trying to brag about the fact that she's never needed to use that spell before.
Oh, there you go.
Basically. Yeah.
So many jokes from
from Duro, from one spell.
Duro snake.
That was probably made up. I don't think that spell is in the book.
I don't recognize it at all.
No, actually, I think it might be like at one point they make like a wall or something and Hermione does Duro on it.
You know, I bet it's in the video game or something.
No, probably. It's probably in Hogwarts Mystery, yeah.
So is the video game canon then?
Well, some according people consider to... it canon.
Okay.
Mm.
It's like a quaternary canon for us.
If you go on the Harry Potter wiki, it's certainly considered canon.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. There'll be like all this trivia on there that we're like, I don't remember that at all. And then you'll look at the little reference and it will be like from whatever video game. It's like, okay.
Mm.
Gotcha. All right, well, that was awesome. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we will come back and do some feedback.
Yes.
All right, we are back. We're ready to get into some feedback. If you'd like to submit feedback for anything that you've heard so far tonight or are about to hear, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373. We love feedback. This first bit of feedback is actually from our Facebook page. And it is in regards to episode 5.37, which was Amanda's surprise baby shower. Gail said that she watched it, and it was so sweet. It was really fun and sweet.
It was so much fun. It was a great time.
Dennis said, in the This Might Freak Colleen Out department, on the very day of Amanda's surprise shower, I heard the term doula for the very first time ever on the new news about babies having babies in the COVID age. And then again, watching the final season finale of Snowpiercer. So he heard it twice in the same day on the day of your shower.
Which, having never heard the word before.
That's the Bader-Meinhof effect. That's what happens. As soon as you hear a word like that, you're going to hear it all over. Yeah.
I was literally going to just ask, what is that called?
It's the Bader-Meinhof. Did you say the word duro? The word duro?
Yeah.
Well, that happens to me all the time. Anytime I learn a new word.
Yeah. Well, I used the word sardonic with Jay last week. And he was like, what word did you just say? And I was, because he was kind of snippy, and he was getting, I asked him a question and he was getting something out of the fridge, and he kind of like answered me in like a sardonic kind of tone. And I was like, oh, someone's feeling sardonic. I was like, oh, I guess sardonic Jay showed up tonight. And he was like, what does that word mean? Is that a real word? And I was like, yes. And I had a moment where I was like, okay, up until this point in my life, I thought it was, and I've been using it. then
I feel like that's...
Then we asked Alexa, and she verified. You know.
And she was like, right. It's pronounced sarcastic, Colleen.
It's like the British pronunciation.
Right.
Gonic.
I will say though, I feel like
Gono was sarcastic.
That's one of those words that like I have to constantly look up though. Like I like vaguely know what it means, but not precisely.
Wait, sardonic or sarcastic?
Sardonic. Okay. No, sarcastic, I've got covered.
Wow, sardonic Colleen just came out.
I know. Thank you.
But there's like a handful of words that like should be very firmly in my vocabulary that I just like continually have to look up.
I know the feeling.
Yes.
What are some other words? Can you think of them? Like anybody?
Well, I mean, I almost bet if I could think of them, I would maybe have been able to learn them. But
you know,
there's
one word that I never could grasp was erudite, or however you say that.
Oh yeah, I'm still not certain how you say that.
I think I know it now, but for the longest time, I could never remember what it meant.
I feel like, fine with that one, but I don't even really know how to say it. Heuristic.
Oh.
Do you pronounce the H?
I know that one just from, yeah, it's heuristic. I thought it was heuristic.
Psych.
No, it's heuristic.
Okay.
Your mom's istic.
You know what word took me forever to get, which is an easy word? Exposition.
Hi.
Hey, Frank.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Frank.
Frank has come down to say hello. This is becoming a broadcast tradition. He pops in.
Hi. Hi, my daughter. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hi, hello. Frank. Good to see you.
My daughter. Oh, I didn't know I have a new daughter, Marta.
Yeah, hello. Hi, Dad.
Oh, I love when you call me like that. Because my cats cannot say that. How are you guys?
How are our sisters?
They're good.
They're good. They're really good. Yeah, she's sleeping. Of course.
Except that Gabby's been over grooming herself. So she's like literally shaving her pussy.
My God. It's not good.
Oh my gosh, poor Gabby.
Yeah.
She's normally so fluffy.
I know.
She's not anymore.
She's like shaved. Half of her bottom half is like shaved.
Oh,
so we need to figure that
concerning.
Out. Yeah.
I haven't heard of that. At least.
Oh, Fiona. Yeah. It's a thing.
Maybe you're going to do some implants. Sure.
What did you say, Frank?
Maybe you're going to do some implants, you know?
Hair implants?
No. Might be a good option.
Or she might have to wear a cone for a while. Captain.
Oh, yeah. We are familiar with the cone of shame here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Captain had a cone of shame for like the first 8 weeks of quarantine.
Aw.
I'm scared of Gabby wearing a cone. I don't think it's going to work. It's going to be crazy.
Kind of entertaining because he would kind of walk in this weird way. You know, like move his head side to side so he could see where he was going.
They might. They also make like a little donut that sometimes the animals like that better. Have you seen those?
No.
When Amber, my cat, got spayed, she had to wear a donut because she couldn't handle a cone. She was too much of a baby about it.
Aww.
So it's like a little inflatable, like it looks like a little life preserver.
Scarf. Okay.
Aww. Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah, and it's like it's, you know, soft, like a pillow kind of.
Not Duro.
No, not Duro.
Not Duro. It was Mala or whatever.
Because I'm in the middle of the meeting. Well, good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Marta. Yeah, and bye, Amanda.
Corinne. Bye, Frank.
Bye. See you soon.
Bye, Frank.
See you. Bye, to Paul. Onion.
Oh, okay,
Paul.
I will.
Paul. Ciao.
I will.
All right, anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, exposition is my word, but.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
I think I know what it means. anyway, sorry. Getting back to the feedback. Thank you, Dennis. Also, I might have to go back and re-record the season episode number because it might not be next week. It might be in 2 weeks or 4 weeks.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Good thing I have a microphone set up and I can do that really.
Right. It's a good thing you have the capabilities to do that.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Our next bit of feedback is an email from Olivia, and I'm really glad that we got this email from her. So she sent us an email with 10 discussion ideas. We're going to split it up. We're going to do the first 5 now, and the second 5 we're going to do next week. So let's get started with the first five.
Okay, so Olivia writes in some random thoughts to discuss. Number one, how many quarantine loaves of bread did you make in the last year?
Do bagels count?
Oh, that's
we're going to count bagels. Yeah.
That's true. We did do bagels and we did do pretzels.
Oh,
I didn't bake any like sourdough like some people did, but I did bake a couple quick breads.
Alice, you say quick bread now?
I don't. I live, but I unfortunately. So I don't know. When for you, some reason.
But yeah, the three of you, when you hear quick bread, do you know what she means by quick bread?
Nope. Yes.
I'm gonna say no, but I'm
yes.
Okay, good.
What's a quick bread, Amanda?
A quick bread is like, you know, banana bread or zucchini bread, like something that is in enriched dough.
Okay, so Shandy's having the reaction I had the first time Marcus said it to me.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I was assuming that what you meant was like something in like a bread maker.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like quick and easy. You don't have to do anything. Quick
it doesn't require
yeast. It doesn't have to rise.
Yeah, it doesn't rise.
You don't have to, it doesn't have to let be, you know, have time to rise. So,
yeah. I mean, it's also not really bread.
Well, that's
it's
what
more
I like said.
A cake.
More a dessert. It's a large muffin.
Large muffin. That's right.
I did
nothing
bake
like
one of
bread for breakfast.
One of the quick breads I baked, though, was an Irish soda bread, which is a bread. I mean, what I would consider bread, but it's a quick bread. So I did bake that maybe twice. And then I've also
considered a cook bread. Are you sure?
I am sure. And then I also
it's not baked in a 9x3 pan.
Well, I mean, you can bake
nine
it.
9x5.
Yeah. Right. No, you can just bake it like however you want.
Okay.
And then I also baked some banana bread. I don't know how many loaves, but
the student has become the master in the quick bread school here. Alice is teaching me what a quick bread is. The first time I said quick
or
bread to her, she
is not.
Well, yes, that too.
The first time,
I said quick bread to Alice, she just was like, totally, like that is not a thing, Martha.
But so is this like? Is it a regional thing? Is this something you picked up?
No, it's like in the Betty Crocker.
It's
cookbook,
in cookbooks.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
That's like a
category. I was seeing like an east-west divide here, but
yeah, it's a cookbook category. Yeah. It's quick bread. So I also made like one of the quick breads I made was a cranberry orange bread.
Ooh,
that was a quick bread and it was very good.
Ooh, that sounds yummy.
Yeah, I did some cranberry orange muffins.
If only you had done them in a bread loaf, then you could be telling that to Olivia.
They're just easier to freeze as in muffin form than as a
true.
Whole.
But it should still
bread.
Count. It should still count in muffin form.
Yeah, I think muffins and bread. You know, we're counting quick breads.
That's the kind of baking I can handle. Like real proper bread baking. Like that's Daniel's thing. Like if you include him, as many weeks as there are in a year is how many loaves of bread. He makes a loaf of bread about a loaf of bread a week.
But no.
Pre-quarantine too, or was this a quarantine hobby?
This was a pre.
Okay.
But he has sort of branched out. So like he did focaccia.
Wow.
During quarantine. We did like boiled bagels. We did boiled pretzels.
Dude, he makes bread like we do podcasts. That's awesome.
Yeah. Occasionally, I will put it in the oven or take it out. That's about as much as I do to help.
We did the bagels from the air fryer. I don't really bake things, so or very much like but we did do the bagels in the air fryer. I ate a shitload of bagels. Remember when I was eating bagels like every single day? I would go to Panera's drive-through because they were open. I'd be like, three everything bagels, please, so I can eat them for the next 3 days. Or it was really great. Not great.
That was me. Yeah. I definitely did that like for 3 or 4 months of the pandemic.
I
would go to Panera or go to whatever bagel shop and get a bunch of bagels.
I did that too. I would go twice a week. I would go whenever I had to go into the office. I would stop along the way because it was along the way and I would get it for the next couple of days. And it just, I don't know, it was comfort food for me because I'm from New York. So a bagel is comforting and it was not a comforting time. So
let me ask, top half or bottom half of the bagel?
Top half.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Bottom half squad checking in here.
What?
Bottom half for me.
No, it depends on the bagel. Because if you get a good bagel, then
I love
I agree about the bottom half. But if you get a like kind of fake knockoff store bagel, then the top half is better.
It's always right. The bottom half for me.
Right. We did Costco bagels for a little while and they were awful. And I was like, no.
The Costco bagels, though, they're not even boiled.
No, they're not. They do not taste that good.
So, okay, wait, follow up question. What type of bagel do you normally get that you prefer the bottom half to the top half?
Like a salt bagel?
You're not going to believe it, but Asiago.
But really? All the Asiago's on the top.
There's that little hole in the center.
Now, I will give you that if it's a thicker bagel, because I do toasted with butter. I love cream cheese.
Mm-hmm, me too. But I don't like cream cheese. I only do toasted with butter.
Okay, I love cream cheese, but I do toasted with butter this last year. And the bottom bagel, half of the bagel is much easier. I know, right? I'm like in this like Duro position with my hands on the
I wasn't thinking it, but now the visual.
Now I am.
The bottom half is more Duro because it's easier to like denser.
Like when you have the butter melting on both halves, they will give you the bottom half. You can squeeze it, like you know.
Love to squeeze that bottom half. Love to squeeze
you don't need that Duro half. Anymore,
ladies. I don't want to tell you you're doing bagels wrong, but you're all kind of doing bagels wrong.
Well, I'm sure I am. I'm from Montana. I'm fine with being told that I'm not doing bagels right, but if whatever I do with bagels is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I love
a toasted bottom half of a bagel with butter.
Schmear with your lox. I miss, I can't wait to have
lox. I love lox, but no.
Oh, I can't wait.
Cheese. Oh, no, a good cream cheese and lox bagel is.
Mm. Yeah, with the capers.
That's another one of those words. Lox. Should know.
No, smoked salmon.
That one's a little bit more shameful.
It's just smoked salmon, and it's expensive. It's ridiculously overpriced, and
it's the best.
It's really good,
it's
though.
It's like, now that you remind me, I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to come up with that on my own. Also, you can just call it salmon.
It also, in German, the word lox, but spelled L-A-C-H-S, means salmon. So that makes it really easy.
Okay. So that's where we probably got. Because that's what I was going to say. Like, why is it not just called salmon, then?
Yeah.
It's Alice's favorite texture of food, slippery. That's what she always does.
Oh, no.
No, it's an amazing texture.
She's serious.
No.
I love it.
No. You're doing texture wrong.
Oh, my God. Wait, we just gave like so much water.
Do you like the texture of lox?
I like the taste of lox.
It's my favorite.
But, that's like the whole... That's the whole appeal of lox, then. You might as well just eat regular salmon if you don't like the texture of lox.
Well, the flavor is different.
It's the flavor. I do like top and bottoms how I eat my bagel, but like Jay, Zachary, they actually just like put the top and the bottom together and like, you know, cut it and eat it like a sandwich. I will do that with lox sometimes.
If you're doing it with the lox, then yeah,
I want
you do
that
have to
cream
eat it like
cheese
a sandwich.
And the yeah.
Yeah.
So do you
unless
like,
you want extra lox, then you got to do open face.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, that makes sense because then you have it on either side, and then
right.
Each side is a complete. Mm-hmm.
And you have to toast your bagel with the lox too.
Oh, you have to toast your bagel. Period.
I know, right? Traditionally, you're not supposed to toast it with.
Well, if it's a really fresh bagel, then you could have it untoasted. But if it's not very fresh, you want to have it toasted.
All bread needs to be toasted. It's like bread is a lie.
I agree. That's why it was shocking news to me when I discovered that, like, traditionally. You don't. If you're going to have the lox, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, but
again,
if that's
wrong, I don't want to be right.
We're a progressive podcast, so we don't need your traditions. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying. I'm just giving you the historical context and the cultural context.
Tradition is just peer pressure from our ancestors. Right. A few days ago,
you know, just repping those Lower East Side Jews. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Pauline, how were the bagels in the air fryer? That sounds like something I'm going to need to try.
You know, it wasn't bad. I got like one of the healthier recipes, so I made it with yogurt.
Mm.
And there was one batch that came out terrible because I put baking powder by accident instead of baking soda.
That'll really derail a bake.
It did not taste great. But all the other bakes, like once I got like the correct ratio of like, you know, where you lay it out so it can cook evenly. Because our first attempt, they were definitely too thick, and I had to keep like putting them back in, and like, you know, they were doughy. But when I finally like got it correct, I thought they were tasty. So, and there's a gazillion.
I'm sure they were.
nice. Bagel recipes out there, you know, that don't need like the yogurt. Like, I'm sure you're good at baking things that
Alice shakes her head.
Not that good.
But yeah, I thought it was good. I have a friend from college. Amanda, I don't know if you've seen Chrissy's Instagram. She's been making donuts with her kids in the air fryer.
Oh my God.
She's been making
that sounds like a dangerous idea.
Yeah.
When I was like seven, I was obsessed with going to garage sales and I would get just like random things at garage sales. And I got this donut maker at a garage sale.
Did you make donuts?
And I used it once, but it was like this sort of like looked a mini toilet plunger.
Oh no.
And you like kind of like press the dough through this thing. Yeah. Kind of Duro-ish. And I made it one, and they were actually pretty good, but it was a lot of work. And my parents were like, we're not doing that again because, you know, I wasn't doing it by myself.
Okay, it's coming back to me. Oh, okay. The thing I was thinking of was actually terrible, and I'm not sure. Remember, we were talking about wizard abortions, and Tim was like, Axio baby.
Oh, God.
Was that what it was?
What? Axio is summoning.
Summoning it out of you.
Oh. I don't remember that. I must have repressed that memory.
I don't remember that at all either.
I don't remember it, but it also doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me either.
I'll keep thinking. Maybe that, because we were talking about wizard birth control and all that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And we were like, Accio fetus. But maybe I'm wrong.
Oh my God. No, I'm sure you're right. Me not remembering it does not mean I don't believe it.
But there was another thing. There was like we were joking about like wizard boners, and there was definitely, oh, it was either like Greg or Tim or somebody who came up with that. Anyway.
Wizard boners just seems to be a topic of conversation on these episodes.
Wouldn't wizard boners just be boners because they're humans?
That's a good point.
But they're magical, Amanda.
They're magical.
They're magical boners.
Yeah. Yeah, just ask Mr. Weasley, okay?
I mean, a boner is a boner. A boner.
But if you think about the whole purpose of a wand is to, like, focus your, like, energy or whatever, like, for your magic, like, to sort of, like, you know, like, the, and so I'm just thinking maybe there's some
Right. Can a wizard do spells with their boner? Then it's worth making the distinction. Otherwise, it is just a boner
by any other name.
Unless you can do something special with it. It's just.
And we mean actual special.
Like a duck.
Yeah. Not just something that you think is special, like something we think is special too.
Right. Objectively special.
How did we get here?
We're going to the next question. We're going to the next question.
I would get like 5 loaves of bread, but I didn't get to answer.
I made 0 loaves of bread. And yeah, cooking and baking changed 0 during the pandemic. Maybe I did the pandemic wrong, but Frank on the other hand. Okay,
you've
number
still
2.
Still got time.
Yeah, good. Is it just me, or does wearing a mask with sunglasses alleviate the stress of walking in public while trying to figure out what to do with your mouth and eye contact?
It does.
Although, I suppose it does.
I still smile when I see people and say hi or take pictures.
I have to admit, I sort of enjoy wearing a mask at work. I've been back at school since August, so I've been pretty good at wearing a mask now. And there's a lot of benefits to it. Like, I do feel like it's kind of nice for your facial expressions. You can kind of do more with your face in public than you normally would.
Right. Man, resting bitch face sure took a hit this pandemic.
I mean, you can't roll your eyes, but that's really the only one that you have to totally avoid.
Right. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to wax my lip in over a year, so that's been awesome.
That's pretty great.
I don't wear sunglasses very often because I don't. Well, I have clip-on sunglasses that I wear when I'm driving that are like 30 years old. but because of my glasses, I really would like to get prescription sunglasses, but I just haven't done that, and yeah, I hardly ever wear contacts.
Game changer.
Yeah, I've heard that. I kind of want that to be like my summer gift to myself.
No, you know what the real game changer is? The transition lenses.
Yes.
That's next level.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, I know Shandy has been rocking those. I remember on Survivor her wearing those. Montana Survivor, of course. yeah, I just have never tried. So I don't know. I haven't experienced the sunglasses phenomenon that Olivia is talking about.
Yeah, I don't often wear sunglasses and the mask together because I usually am inside when I have my mask on, but I do like wearing sunglasses for being more incognito, so I'm sure.
I know Olivia lives in Florida, so that's probably, she's been wearing sunglasses a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I find because my sunglasses are thicker than my glasses, I can wear the mask sunglass combo without the fog situation. Cannot wear my glasses though. So indoor masks and being able to see far away just have not happened the past year.
Yeah.
Really?
It like depends for me on the mask. And
yeah, I've gotten pretty good about the Old Navy masks under the glasses slightly.
That's what I was gonna say.
Don't normally fog. Yeah.
The only mask that don't fog for me under the glasses are the Old Navy masks because you can adjust the straps and
I love the Old Navy masks.
This is good to know because this has really been a struggle for me.
Cute patterns too.
They do. I have.
Oh yeah, I'm all about. That's all I wear pretty much.
Yeah, I have the floral ones, and I'm obsessed with them.
They're super cute. I love Old Navy masks.
And Zachary.
I don't think we have an Old Navy, but I'm going to.
You just get them online.
I got them all online.
Yeah, they're really good. They fit really well. Zachary loves the kids' patterns. They have like dancing avocados and bananas playing saxophones.
They have really fun patterns.
Yeah.
What a dancing avocado.
Yeah. Smiley faces.
I know. I was looking at the kids' patterns. I was like, do they have these in adult sizes?
I know. Alex likes to match me, so I have found matching masks for me and Alex.
Cute.
You know, the ones that he wears are geared a little bit towards, you know, women or little girls, but he doesn't care because he really likes to match mommy, so it's been sweet.
Love that.
I love it.
All right, next question.
All right. Next question is, what is the first restaurant you're going to hit up this year?
Like back in person?
Yeah, because I've been doing curbside takeout for...
Yeah, I was going to say, I've gotten a lot of restaurant food.
Well, I have a feeling I know what Alice is going to say.
What?
Alice's favorite restaurant, Olive Garden.
Yeah. No, this is a joke. I mean, okay, I will admit Olive Garden is a fun place to go at times. Go use a Ziosk.
Yeah, Olivia Alice's knows. Big Ziosk. If you
big
know,
Ziosk
you know.
Fan. If you know, you
I
know.
Know. Oh, I know.
No, that's not my first one.
I was just kidding.
Actually, Olive Garden is like one of the last places I actually want to go right now because that's one of those places that's always packed and you have to wait like you're standing in a big pack of people to get into the restaurant. Just like stuff I just don't want to do anymore.
I have an answer. Actually, so our wedding anniversary is April 29th and we made our reservation for our first in-restaurant dining experience. So all four of us are going to go, and they still have the, you know, spacing like 25%, or I think it's 50% capacity now. So that will, if all goes well, that will hopefully be our first in-person restaurant. It'll be the Angus Barn by us. So
nice.
Which is a steakhouse, which we really
exciting.
Like.
Nice. That's good. Yeah. No, we've actually been not like a ton,
but you've been but outdoor been
like
dining,
a,
right?
You know, it's like New York City, so it's like we've been doing a lot of like outdoor dining, and a lot of places have like built these, sort of they half enclosures on the sidewalk, and
that's what we've done here too.
Yeah, so we've been doing that every now and again because it's like, you know, you want to keep those businesses alive. But.
Right, we've done. Well, Jay has not actually. The only times that. Jay did one outdoor dining with me, but generally it's the times my parents have come to visit because it's like a standoff, right? It's like, well, I'm not cooking. And my mom is like, well, I'm not cooking in your house. So it's like, who wants pizza? And pizza. Anyway, Sorry.
Always a good option, yeah. I mean, that's the same like in California. What's been nice is that we can have outdoor dining like pretty much year round. And so we've gone, I mean, not when like things were spiking, we weren't going to outdoor dining, but we've gone to a couple of places. We went actually 2 weekends in a row, we went to brunch, which was like, we hadn't done that.
That's awesome.
I went to the same place and sat at the same table. And it's a place that we used to go that we like. And they did their like outdoor space really nicely. So it's like, it's appropriately spaced and everything. And like I feel safe there. And so that's good. We also actually went like a week or two ago, we went to a brewery down the street that we hadn't been to like since before the pandemic. And we're able to get, they have like a small like beer garden. But it's cool. Like they took out all of their big tables and like really like redid it for pandemic stuff in mind.
Yeah.
And they had actually closed down like completely for quite a while. Mm. But that was weird because that was like, it really felt like the first time and, you know,
yeah,
even more so than brunch. I don't know. It was cool. But and again, it was like safe and spaced out and outside. Yeah. I haven't really like indoor dining. I will maybe do in a couple of months.
Yeah, we haven't done any indoor. Yeah,
6 months.
And we haven't done any indoor.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly,
I don't. I sort of miss it, but I also don't. I really loved this like outdoor, this outdoor dining revolution that like has happened in New York, and it's, you know, I'm really glad the city is going to keep all these outdoor contraptions at least through the next year because it's really fun.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah. My reason for not wanting to go to indoor dining in Montana is like, it's, you know, we've been vaccinated and I think, you know, at some point it'll be relatively safe. I'm just going to be so annoyed to see how many anti-maskers are going to be out. That's why I try to avoid going in public at all, because it's just annoying how there are people everywhere and not in masks. But I did go and did, I guess, sort of outdoor dining at this little like bakery with my grandma a few last weekend. So that was fun.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't done like any outdoor dining. I mean, I just for my own anxiety, like haven't wanted to do that. My roommates have done it. I definitely think it is safe to do. I just haven't done it. Right. But when you said brunch, Shandy, that's the one meal like out that I have not done. Like I've done a lot of takeout. Yeah. I got takeout brunch a couple of weeks ago for the first time. And I was like, why haven't I done this before? But it was not that good. And I was like,
yeah,
I definitely would like to go be able to go out to brunch. There's a couple brunch spots in my neighborhood that I really like. So that's definitely the like meal out that I'm most looking forward to whenever it's safe. And I feel personally like ready to do it too. Cause I'm still not, I mean, even though I'm fully vaccinated and stuff, I'm still just like, makes me kind of feel weird to think about.
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. And brunch is like the one that you can't really do good takeout for.
Even by the time you get it home, like whatever you got is like kind of cold and
soggy.
It was disappointing.
Yeah.
It's the instantaneous.
Yeah. Well, and like a lot of that food, like eggs, really don't stay warm very long.
Not great. Yeah. But I will say, like, even more so than like necessarily eating inside, what I'm more looking forward to is like going, like having meals with other people. Cause like when we go, like it's just me and Frank. You know, and that's, you know, and that's fine. But like, I don't feel comfortable going out to eat with somebody else because you're going to be at the same table and you obviously have to take off your masks while you're eating. So I have a lot of friends who are like in the process of being vaccinated or just finishing up their second vaccination. I'm going to be fully good on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, so like, I think once that happens and everyone's sort of like fully vaccinated in my circle, like then we could invite like some friends who we know are vaccinated to like go and eat together, and I would feel safe about that. But until then, it's just like brunch for two.
No, that's real. It's like I went to brunch with two girlfriends that I hadn't seen like all pandemic like 2 months ago, and it was just this glimmer of normalcy.
Definitely
30 degrees outside and we were freezing.
I'm not gonna miss that. I like the outdoor spaces, but I'm not gonna miss, even if it's California, it's still Monterey, it's still like kind of
right,
like, iffy. It's not hot enough.
I won't miss being cold, but we've gone to drinks with friends a couple of times because I feel like that's easy. Like we can physically move our chairs away from each other and we don't really need the table, but for a meal, like you all need access to the table. So
Yeah. I miss the drinks, I think, but that's, I think that's just as much a pregnancy thing as it is. Just like, oh, I can't wait to go to like the wine bar in my neighborhood and like sit there and like order a whole glass of wine for myself and not like scam a sip off of somebody else. But like order a whole glass just for me.
All right. So next question. Question 4 of 5 for this episode.
All right. Question 4. How's your relationship to social media changed in the past year?
I am on Facebook a whole lot less.
Yeah.
I do check Twitter a lot more, actually. But for me, Facebook was getting too stressful. It was making me angry inside. And I feel bad because I miss people's birthdays sometimes or I don't know as much what's going on in their life. I had a friend whose wife had a baby in November, and I had missed the entire pregnancy because they had announced it in June. And I was like pandemic time, so I had been like, I had noped out of social media by then. So, you know, I feel like I sometimes, especially because people I think were obviously keeping better touch over social media during the pandemic, but so I feel like I did miss a lot, but yeah, my relationship with social media has definitely been, I'm on it a lot less.
Yeah, I think I'm on it probably just as much as I was, or I don't use Facebook that often, but I am on Twitter probably more than I was before the pandemic. It's kind of a problem. Like, I mean, it was already a problem how addicted to Twitter I am, but like, I'll just be like, because I'm working from home still, also teaching from home, like my phone's just on the desk next to me and I'll just be like mindlessly scrolling, like not while teaching, but like if students are working on something or like it's just, it's there. And so I just constantly have it open. So that's because I'm at home, it's more of an easy option to just have there all the time. So I definitely feel like that's changed my relationship with it a little bit. Not in a good way.
I definitely have been doing a lot of doom scrolling. Like, I know that became a term this pandemic, but I should, like, I like the idea of like being less Facebook dependent. And it's nothing, I'm not on there for anything. Well, there's a few positive things, but I feel like a lot of times I'm just looking at the news stories from our local news outlets and reading the comments on there.
I do it a lot.
I know I do it a lot, and it's semi-entertaining.
Never
to
read
like
the comments,
you know, like it's just sort of like this weird addiction to just like see how stupid people are.
Yeah,
and she always screenshots and sends to me.
Yeah, so I send Martha and Paul a lot of like annoyed text messages about the dumb things people are saying. But I know we have so many crazy people here,
right? And thanks to social media, especially Facebook, my relationship with a lot of my family members have changed because I read some of the things that they post and I'm like, how are you this stupid? Like,
right. That's just how I feel about so many people in general. Not really a lot of people that I have had personal connections to in the past. Like, not a lot of my friends or family members, but just acquaintances or, you know, people from my high school or something. Like, there's a lot of people where I've gotten a very negative opinion of them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Definitely.
No, I will say, like, especially whenever it was, and like, God knows I can't remember because of COVID, but when the social, what was that movie called?
Social Dilemma.
Social Dilemma. Yeah. When that came out, I like got super freaked out and deleted all my social media. I mean, I had already deleted a lot of apps from my phone, but deleted, you know, all of them, like even Messenger and stuff. And it feels really good. And I agree. Like, I don't know, our opinions of people, for better or for worse, is like, and vice versa too. Like, you know, I'm sure their opinions of us are changing and shifting. It's like someone that you maybe barely know,
well,
that all of a sudden you have this like...
These are not critical thinkers that we're talking about.
Right.
Right. So they're probably not thinking about us as much as we're thinking about them.
Yeah, but it's more turned on to how what we're saying is offending them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I will say, like, I don't have
really friends on Facebook that I have strong political disagreements with. Mm-hmm. Like basically 99.5% of my friends, I would say that's the case for. And like, yeah, I'm in a bubble, but like, I'm okay. Like, I don't go to Facebook to expand my horizons of what, you know, anyone's lived reality is like. Like, that's just not how I use it. And that I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like,
and honestly, yeah, no one should be using it that way. Right. It's a really inefficient right way to be.
No, Shandy, I think it's really important that you go out and follow more like racist, misogynistic people.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. If you think you can change anyone's mind on social media, you are just swinging at windmills.
Yeah,
that was a joke, by the way. I don't think that anybody.
Shandy, if you could,
I got you.
Thank goodness you explained.
No, Shandy, if you could, Shandy, if you could sit down with them in diners more often, then we could all appreciate each other better.
I mean, diners solve all problems.
All problems.
I mean, really. So much of the world's problems could be solved over a plate of disco fries.
Mm. A chicken fried steak.
All right. And then final question from Olivia for tonight.
Okay. Final question is, and I love this, kind of related to question number four. Do you feel guilty when you don't repost a social justice post or hashtag? For instance, when hashtag Stop Asian Hate started blowing up online, did you feel the need to jump in and repost?
Well, I kind of like go back and forth with this because sometimes I do feel like this compulsion, like, oh, I better share that too. But then sometimes I feel like a huge poser if I do, you know what I mean? Like, or I don't want it to be like just performative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I so feel the same.
I have to, yep. I feel like I do care about a lot of those causes, so I don't want it to seem like I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like an inner battle. I don't know. Or I don't, a lot of times I just am not, as much as I'm on Facebook and stuff, I don't end up really posting that much. So a lot of times I just don't post stuff because I'm not posting things.
For me, I think this is one of the best benefits of not having Instagram on my phone anymore, because that's how stories was for me on Instagram. Like, you know, 9 months ago, 6 months ago. And obviously there are really important things happening and we should be informed about them and care about them and, you know, like do what we can to help out and give money and et cetera, et cetera. But I would definitely feel like, oh, I need to share this story in my story, in my Instagram stories, or like, and if I didn't, then it's the same sort of like internal struggle that you're having, Alice. And then I would feel like, yeah, but then like, what does that mean? And it was just like, okay, at the end of the day, my fucking Instagram account doesn't matter at all for shit. And again, everyone here that's going to see this agrees with me already. So yeah, like,
that's true. I definitely am kind of in an echo chamber as well.
Yeah. I mean, like the word guilt, like I don't really love the word guilt in this context, because I think like it's more a matter of like, what should I be doing? Like, what's something productive I can be doing? Not just about like the feeling that I'm having of white guilt or whatever it is. So yeah, I mean, I think it's also important to be conscious of like what you're sharing, because I think Instagram, like a lot of those like little Canva infographics, it got a little bit out of hand of like people just sharing the stuff and then like realizing 5 days later, oh, Camden, New Jersey isn't a good example of defunding the police or whatever it was, just because one specific infographic went sort of viral on Instagram. So just being super mindful of what you're sharing, like I as well as mindful of who your audience is, I think is super important. So yeah, I mean, I think I would be more likely to feel the like, or like I am in general more gonna feel the like, I should be doing more if I'm just sharing a graphic, but like something more like sharing money or volunteering or protesting or whatever it is, like in combination with whatever cause you're bringing, you know, views to or whatever it is. That's the like important personal work to be thinking about, I think.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better.
Absolutely agreed. I think particularly in the beginning that, yeah, I think what white guilt is a great way to frame it, because it is very, particularly in the beginning, it was very performative. It's like, I need to be doing something. I need to be seen doing something. Mm-hmm. And that's never a good place to move through life from, that you're doing it based on how you think other people are going to be interpreting it.
I think that's totally true, though. I think like in the very beginning of the George Floyd protests, there were people that were genuinely had their eyes open for the first time and were actually horrified by it. So I think things like participating in the Blackout Tuesday or whatever while that had its own issues, that the thought was there. So I don't think, I think that certain things are performative when you're like a blogger that's like showing up at a protest and like you're taking your picture and then you're peacing out. But I do think that there were a lot of people this year who genuinely did start to care.
Right, right. Well, and I was getting to that point.
Sorry. Sorry. I'll mute myself now.
No, it's okay.
No, like, I mean, right, I think that
nothing is black and white, right? There's shades of gray to everything, and we should never be motivated by one thing.
But right, I do think that, you know, some of the social media stuff does serve a purpose, like to, you know, advance social change, you know, and we've got a big movement of people all doing the same hashtag that can be really powerful. So I do think like joining in that sense is a good thing. I just don't think that there's a reason to feel like guilty for not posting, or I just think like that each person should just do what they feel is going to be helpful.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If you're feeling guilty, it's time to unpack why that is and what you can do to channel that guilt into something productive.
Exactly. And I think that for me, that's sort of ultimately where I got to, that when I share things, it's because it is something that I came across and I learned something from. Mm. And
yeah,
that feels productive to me. That like, hey, this is something that came up on my feed that I learned something from and got something out of. Maybe someone else in my network would also get something useful from it as well.
Well, and I have to
and
say, like,
that you feels know, so useful to me.
Sometimes I've been going through people's stories, and I'll, you know, a lot of times when people do share like a post from an Instagram story or something, I'll click on it and go read it, and I have learned interesting things, or I've you know, seen some good perspectives, or found people to follow that I wouldn't have known about otherwise. So I do think that there's some benefit in that.
Right. Right.
But I do think, like Martha said, posting because you'd feel guilty not to, probably not, you know, maybe take a look at that. I don't know.
Yeah. Often
I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. One thing too is like, if you look at like who posted it first, and then you're like, do I have the same like a very similar follower or audience that person does? I'll usually not share it. But if I'm like, it's somebody that I have like two mutual friends with, I'm like, well, maybe I do want to share that because I learned something from it. And I think not everybody I know has seen this the way that a lot of things on Instagram stories, especially, are going to be.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm seeing fewer homemade Canva little graphics than I was at the beginning of the summer, especially. And I'm glad for that, because a lot of those had a lot of like not true things, or like I mentioned the Camden, New Jersey one of like literally like 5 days later of like, oh, that one that went viral actually had some misinformation in it. Wow.
You start to wonder, it's like, are you really trying to be helpful, or are you trying to go viral?
Right. Well, my favorite is there are some ones on Twitter that like, they'll be like, this is what like Instagram stories would have looked like during like such and such social movement 50 years ago. And it's like, so you want to talk about women's suffrage or something. Like, and it's like cutesy with little flowers and stuff. Yeah. So that always makes me laugh.
I do get weary about spreading the graphics, because it's frustrating, because on one hand, every single conservative on Facebook is sharing all of these ridiculous, crazy graphics, and that's how they're getting their information out, and people are believing it is true, and you're like, how do I counter that? But I also don't want to share something that somebody could easily Google and prove wrong. So
right.
Right, right. There is that.
Right.
So
yeah, you're so right. That is so how I spent all my time on Facebook. I've seen the way that these things get shared. It's like mostly just memes of like,
always,
you know, a picture of Trump or and then they have like some kind of dialogue over it.
Right.
Or a picture of a flag or, you know, something.
Or a picture.
And that's how their information is spreading. It's just insane.
And it is insane, because they believe it as true. And that's the crazy thing to me is is it's believed as true. So how do you combat that from the other side? I mean, it's great that, you know, we have, you know, memes and infographics and all that, but you don't know who's created that. So you want to make sure that it's true. So
right. And it's hard to distill all the nuance of these very complicated issues into a meme.
Yeah. And I'm sorry again. Amanda.
Usually right. they oversimplify them on both sides to unuseful means.
Right. And a lot of the facts like are not credited with like data or like where they got it from. And so yeah, just being mindful of like, does this person actually know what they're talking about, or is this created for the virality of it or whatever?
Right. Right. Do I agree with this because I want it to be true? Right. Or can I actually prove that this is in fact true information?
Right. Yeah. Which is true from like whatever political ideology you're thinking from too. Like I think the right definitely probably shares stuff for the same reasons that we would be sharing things. Like, oh yeah, this looks like something I agree with.
I want this to be true. Ergo. Yeah.
Right.
But what does it say when that side is sharing things like Democrats eat babies? They're like, do you really want that to be true?
That we're living in.
Yeah, you really want that to be true.
Joe Biden is a socialist.
Right? I love the people that think that socialism and communism are the exact same thing.
Yep.
You're like the socialist, communist, China worshiping Joe Biden. Like,
define socialism, please, for me. Just check. Do you know what it means?
One other thing that I've noticed lately with a bunch of these crazies on Facebook is that they're all obsessed with HIPAA, but none of them understand what it is at all.
Right.
Right.
I haven't seen this at all.
This is a new trend. Here's an example. Our governor just got diagnosed with COVID. Yeah. So our governor just...
That.
Yeah, he got COVID, and so then people are like...
He killed a wolf, and then he got COVID. I say karma.
Your governor is like, it's like Cuomo light over there.
Well, he took away the mask mandate first, and then he got COVID. Yeah. But so anyways...
Okay, those two are more linked, I get it. Right.
All these people in the comments,
I mean,
like,
karma will get you either way.
He's shot a fucking wolf. So, like, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Alice, you were saying.
Well, he had to prove his manhood, Shandy.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to legalize weed stat. Just like Amanda's state.
It's already legal.
We have legalized.
That's true. I was going to say, no, that was New Jersey. But I was like, no, wait, Cuomo did do that.
Yeah.
He also opened up vaccinations for everybody.
Right.
He's like, oh, no, I swear. Don't listen to that woman that accused me of sexual assault. Vaccines for everyone.
Yeah. That's the
Who
move.
Wants to get high?
Well, anyways, there's all these people in the comments just saying, like, why is the media reporting that he has COVID? That's a violation of HIPAA.
Nope. Try again.
And then I've just seen it on so many things. I just saw another one that was like, should people be allowed to eat without masks if they have a vaccine or something? Like, well, no, they can't ask if you've gotten a vaccine. That's a violation of HIPAA. No, it's not.
Nope. Try again.
Like, so they're all HIPAA experts. Now that I said it, people are going to see this in the comments.
Bader Meinhof.
Yeah.
Like, somebody doesn't read the sheet the doctor gives them once a year to sign.
I mean, I don't read the sheet the doctor gives me.
And yet you know totally what HIPAA is.
Oh, dear.
I signed that I received it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Olivia. Those were great. Can't wait to read the rest of them next week. All right, that's where we're going to stop for here. We've got some more feedback for next week. We've got Olivia's, the rest of her questions. We've got some questions from the Real Weird Sisters Facebook page. We've got an Andy update and more. That's what she said. So join us again next week for those. And yeah. We'll see you on the other side. I'll see you guys on the other side of a pee break. If anybody has any feedback they would like to give to us from this episode, broadcasters3@gmail.com, realweirdsisters@gmail.com, or you can give us a call here at 331-276-2373. We really appreciate it. A thank you to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rigner, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. I think that's it. Does anybody else have anything to finish part one of our Duro episode?
All I was going to say is Duro, so Duro to all.
Put that snake in that caster or whatever it is. Well, on that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
My name is Shandy.
I'm Martha.
And I'm Alice.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I think